Next on The Balanced Word, learn how to treat others with kindness and equality.
You treat people as if they are your equal. You treat them not in a way that you're looking down at them, not in a way that you're kissing up to them, that you see them as peers. You see them as friends. You see them as family. That's kind of what Solomon gets down to, and it's really true. Ultimately, that's all people want. They don't want someone looking down at them. They don't want someone looking up at them. They just want to be connected as friends, as family, as equals.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this is The Balanced Word. We'll be joined by Pastor Dave Rolfe in a moment, who today continues a series titled Smarter Living. Stop for a second to think about how you treat others. Now see if it lines up with what the Proverbs have to say about the way people want to be treated. We'll discover today kindness and treating them as equals is the way to go. Here's Pastor Dave in chapter 19, verse 22.
One of the most important skills in life is knowing how to treat people. There are people who have less giftedness, less resources, less intelligence, but they're able to accomplish things and they're able to achieve success because they're so good at knowing how to treat people. At the same time, there are people who should have all sorts of capabilities, and yet because they don't get along well with others, it just doesn't click for them. So we all hopefully understand, boy, how I learn to treat people is going to ultimately define what my life becomes. But the tricky thing is, how do you know how to treat people? Most people don't even know what they want. If you become like a total people pleaser and do everything that everyone wants you to do, they lose respect for you, you lose respect for yourself. So how do you know at the core, what does it mean to treat people in a way that's actually the best way to do it? Well, Solomon, who was a master at how to treat people, has some wisdom for us. And if you have a Bible, turn over to Proverbs chapter 19. And he kind of sums it up for us. Here's how people want to be treated. Proverbs 19 and verse 22. Solomon says, "What is desired in a man is kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar." In other words, a poor guy who's nice is better than a liar who's really good at stuff. Kindness. They just want people to be nice. Now, the Hebrew word here for kindness, in other places it's translated merciful. We'll see that in a couple of verses we look at today. But the word here, the word kindness in English is a word that means to treat people like their kin, treat them like their family. But the Hebrew word here is really an interesting one. It's the Hebrew word chesed, which means, the root of it means to bow to someone, but it means to treat people as if they are equals. So this word doesn't denote a deep bow. In Eastern cultures, if you come across someone who is your superior, you bow very low to them. Whoever bows the lowest is seen as the least. That's not this word. Now, if you see someone who is less than you, who is subservient, you wouldn't bow to them at all. In fact, you might hold your chin up a little higher. You might look down your nose at them. We use that expression. But this word chesed means it's a different bow that they would, if you saw somebody less than you, you'd look down your nose. If you saw somebody greater than you, you'd bow deeply. But if you saw someone who's your friend, if you run into someone who is your equal, you would just nod your head. And that's the root word of this word, chesed. The idea of what it is you treat people as if they are your equal. You treat them not in a way that you're looking down at them, not in a way that you're kissing up to them, that you see them as peers. You see them as friends. You see them as family. That's kind of what Solomon gets down to, and it's really true. Ultimately, that's all people want. They don't want someone looking down at them. They don't want someone looking up at them. They just want to be connected as friends, as family, as equals. Now, you might look at it and go, yeah, but come on. Some people aren't equal to me. This isn't about whether you're equal or not. There are always certain people that are going to do things better than you. There are other people who are doing things worse than you. But the real question is, how do you treat them? And we'll talk about later how Jesus treated people. Jesus was superior to everyone he ever met, and yet he never acted superior because he was intent on the same principle that Solomon's giving us here. Just treat people as peers. Just treat them. Give them that nod of, hey, we're in this together. We're the same. We're connected. We're friends. We are equal. Now, you know, back, you know, 240 years ago, when on July 4, 1776, when the fathers of our country signed that document, the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson had written, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The principle upon which our country was founded. Now, again, I'm not saying, oh, it was a Christian country. It was all. Now, if they were doing that, they would say God is the king and we're all going to follow God. Our country was established on a principle that Solomon is teaching us here and that Jesus certainly lived. People should be treated as equals. And that was the core of the founding of our country. You can't escape it. That's the Declaration of Independence is that. And of course, it depends on a creator who, because he trumps everything, well, bad choice of words, because he's over all, he is, I know somebody will tweet that, but he can say, you are equal because he made us. And, you know, then, you know, 87 years later, during the most horrible conflict our country has ever endured, the war that we call the Civil War, where more people died in that by far than almost all the other wars, Abraham Lincoln stood there at the battle of, you know, at the field where the Battle of Gettysburg had been fought. And he said, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That's what we celebrate as Americans, and that's something that we should appreciate and honor. As soon as we get away from equality, we get away not only from the spirit of how our country was founded, but we also get away from this basic principle that Solomon gives us, that people want to be treated as equals. It's one of the reasons why I really get concerned when our country treats more and more people as if they are inferior and can't provide for themselves. And so when you create a generation of people, almost half of whom are living off of the government, you're basically saying, you can't do this. In fact, all egalitarianism destroys the principle of equality. Egalitarianism means everybody gets the same stuff, same amount of stuff, equal results. Equality isn't that. It's not saying that we are all the same. It's just saying that I will treat you with the same respect that I want to have treated to me. And that's at the core of who America was established as a nation. But it's also at the core of what Solomon says, this is what people want. If you want to treat people well, treat them like equals. Now, we'll look at some of the verses in which he talks about this some more. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. He says, let not mercy. Now, mercy there is the same word, chesed. It's the same word. It means to treat someone as an equal. Same as kindness. That's what being nice is. Let not chesed, mercy, equality, and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Not only does treating people in a way that reflects equality please them, but it pleases God as well. But notice here, Solomon says, you combine chesed, you combine treating someone as an equal with the truth. It's funny, when we get the truth, we have a tendency to want to think that makes us better than people who don't yet see the truth. And it's really weird the way we do this. Like, you may see things one way for years, and you just can't understand what somebody's talking about. And then all of a sudden, your perspective changes. You know, maybe for years and years, you believed that there was no God. And then all of a sudden, you figure out, wow, there is a God. And the first thing you want to do with that truth is go, how can these people be so stupid to not believe it? And you forget the fact that, how long were you that way? We do this with so many areas of life. It's really a challenge to treat people with respect and dignity, to treat them as equals, while you are trying to communicate truth. The problem is, everybody has different ideas of what truth is anyway, and yet, to communicate the truth as equals keeps you from talking down to people, keeps you from this idea that somehow you are superior because of what you know or what you can do. And again, think about Jesus and the way he told the truth. He had the truth. He even said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, he treated people in a way that was honoring. Think about the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan woman. Even the Samaritans didn't like her because she had been married a bunch of times and now she was shacked up with a guy. The Jews thought the Samaritans were just garbage. Jesus shared the truth with her in a way that didn't offend her. He came to her, met her on common ground. He says, hey, you're drawing from the well. Can you give me a drink? And then through the conversation, he was saying, you know, she was like, I can't even believe you're talking to me. You're a Jew. And he was saying to her, you know, I'd like a drink from this well, but if you knew who I was, I could give you a drink of something that will last forever. She's like, whoa. And they got into this little religious discussion. Ultimately, Jesus told her, why don't you go bring your husband out here and we'll talk. Knowing that she didn't have a husband. She was living with a guy. She had had a bunch of husbands before. But he didn't beat her over the head with it. He didn't say, thou art a sinner. You are horrible. Why would I, you know, you're disgusting. Why don't you go break up with that guy and stop sleeping with him and then we'll talk. But he had the truth. But he treated her with dignity. No one else treated her that way, much less a Jew. And yet he approached her as a peer, and he actually commissioned her as one of the first missionaries ever. She went back into her town, told people what happened, and here comes a whole stream of people out of this Samaritan village, and Jesus points at all these people coming out to meet him because of this woman's testimony, and he tells his disciples, look at that, man, the fields are white to harvest. He managed to share powerful truth with her that changed her life in a way that didn't make her feel like he was giving her charity, in a way that didn't make her feel that he was just saying, you need to be as great as I am. Now, was Jesus equal to this Samaritan woman? Not in any respect that I can think of, except maybe she had a bucket and he didn't. But other than that, you would go, wow, he's the God of the universe. She's this woman that's trashed her life. But that's not the point. Equality is not the point. It's treating people as equals that causes them to be receptive. And so, as Solomon points out, when you tell somebody the truth, you tell it with this sense of equality, this sense of kindness, this sense of mercy, and they'll appreciate it. It's really all they're looking for. For the woman at the well, nobody treated her with that kind of respect and dignity except Jesus. And it changed her life. And if we want to bear the truth to people, We can't beat them over the head with it. We can't have our rap be, you know, I used to be even worse than you, and today I'm way better. Wouldn't you rather be like me? They're like, ah, it's good for you. Anytime somebody says to you, when you're talking about your relationship with God and they say it's good for you, it's because they can't imagine that somehow their situation is analogous to yours. They think you must be something different than them. You are of a higher order. You are more deeply religious. To approach someone with the truth in a way that humbly just says, hey, I'm with you. We're friends. We are on the same wavelength. And I don't know, here's something that I've thought of. Here's something that I have heard. Here's something that I've found. Take it for what it's worth. It's okay. I'm not trying to force you into it. Let me just, as friends, share with you the truth that I've found to be true. And without just feeling like we have to cram it down somebody's throat. When you start like obsessively forcing the truth on somebody, they start to feel like, you must think I am a real mess. And then they also feel like, you must think that you know the truth and I don't. You must think you're smart and I'm stupid. That doesn't make people receptive. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for people who treat them as an equal. Jesus exemplifies that, and Solomon really talks about it and points it out too. Look over at Proverbs 21 and verse 21. And he uses the same word, chesed, coupled with another word. He says, Proverbs 21:21, he who follows righteousness and mercy, the word translated there, mercy, is the word chesed, finds life, righteousness, and honor. Follow righteousness and follow equality of treatment. Righteousness just means you're doing it right. Everybody wants to be righteous. You want to do life the best way that you can. You want to do the right things. We sometimes labor so much as if people don't want to be right. People do what they do because they think it's the right thing for them to do at the time. Maybe they feel guilty because they know other people don't think it's right. But the truth is, if they didn't think it was right, they wouldn't be doing it. So Solomon here says, righteousness is a good thing. And you certainly need to show people, here's how to do it right. You need to be that example. But righteousness needs to be, you know, coupled with this equality treatment, this way of honoring someone, connecting with them as peers, in order for it to have any kind of an effect at all. You don't have your life changed by somebody saying, I'm doing it right and you're doing it wrong. Your life changes when someone comes along and is connected to you and they show you what righteousness looks like. They look at you and go, wow, that person, that man, that woman, they really know how to live. It's inspiring to see someone living, doing the right things, and at the same time, they aren't looking down at you because you do it differently. They're like, connected to you. They're like, you know what? If you do it differently than me, we can still be family. If you do it differently than me, we can still be friends. I still care about you and I love you. And you get to choose how you want to do things. I'll do things my way. And, you know, if it ends up you see that I'm doing it right, maybe that's going to influence you. But if the way I do right makes it look offensive and wrong and denigrating, well, I'm not going to want to do it your way, no matter how loud you yell about it, no matter how hard you try to persuade me. Anytime you are trying to talk somebody into doing it right, you're already losing the battle. Because when people tell you what's right, if they do it as peers, you know, you'll listen. If they do it as somebody who looks down at you, pointing a finger at you, you're just going to be like, huh, I'm not going to give in to that. People don't want to be forced into something that they don't choose. So we have to show them how to live life, and they'll figure it out because we're connected to them. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Do the right thing. but do it as equals. Communicate it in a way that isn't denigrating to another person. Now turn over to a couple chapters to Proverbs 24 and verse 29, and we see another concept that often is connected to this. And he talks about what we often refer to as the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity says, if you do something to me, then I'm going to do something to you. It's getting even. And he lets us know here in Proverbs 24, 29, do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Jesus described this law of reciprocity by saying, you know, people have said, you know, to hate your enemy, to fight against them, to do to them what they do to you. But I'm telling you, love your enemies. I'm telling you not to respond in kind. Now, Jesus, of course, in Matthew 7, verse 12, gave us what we call the golden rule, which is, we usually say it as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The way he worded it was the way that you want to be treated, you treat other people that way. The golden rule says you don't just sit here and respond to what somebody else is doing. That's not the way to live your life. Now, you would think that Jesus' proactive statement, you decide to treat people the way you want to be treated, that's something that isn't that far off of saying, you know, if people treat you bad, treat them bad. But here's the problem. When you go by the law of reciprocity, going, I treat people the way they treat me, there's so much room for misunderstanding and deterioration. You may see me, we're walking down the street and we recognize each other, and you may say to me, hey, how you doing? And I go, oh, fine. And we walk past each other and I'm thinking, I wonder why she said, how are you doing? What did she hear? Do I look like I'm not doing well? I bet she was talking to so-and-so, and they were saying this. And then she's thinking about me. Fine. The way he said it, it didn't sound like that convincing. He didn't say great. He said, fine, just fine. That's how, and he was kind of looking at me weird and quizzically. And so next thing I know, we're both creating these scenarios that drive a wedge between us. See, that's the law of reciprocity. Solomon says, don't do that. Jesus tells us, no, you just give everyone the benefit of the doubt and you treat them the way you would want to be treated. Let's knock off the reciprocity, because if we are going to get along with others, we can't allow it to deteriorate to he said, she said, I did this, they did that. That isn't treating someone as an equal. That's treating someone as a rival. And so Solomon says, nah, don't do that. Use the golden rule instead.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here's what's coming up next time when Pastor Dave will talk more about treating others as God would have us.
Solomon is just going, wouldn't you rather be the kind of person that refreshes people? I've said before, some people can light up a room just by entering. Other people can light up a room just by leaving. So who are you? How are you affecting people? Is what you have to say, do you bring good news, as Solomon says? Do you refresh people? Or do you give them something else to worry about? Something else that they ought to be scared of? Something, another reason why they should think that the world is going to hell in a handbasket?
Get on the road to smarter living as you join us each day for The Balanced Word with Dave Roth, the listener-supported ministry of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and knees.